Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There may be some curiosity as where I came up with the name of the sermon today. The name of the sermon today is praise. If some of you are concerned about what the theme of today's passage is all about, it's praise. Are we there? Good. Let's close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Ann. I'm really feeling good. She couldn't hold that one in. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a short one this week. Speaking of a short one. No, that was my back. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Are you pulling me off the stage already, Andrew? I mean, really? Wow. Let's pray again, shall we? Let's pray again. We have spent the last few weeks looking at the Psalms. We are concluding the series this week, but we'll come back to the Psalms in weeks to come. But it made sense for me to go right to the end of the Psalms and get sort of a sense of what is the general trajectory of what this entire 150 Psalm grouping sort of, what is it pushing us towards? And I think it's pushing us towards praise. The Psalms attempt to go beyond just information and kind of move us towards transformation. They capture the emotion of the writer, and that writer then gives us permission to be captured in that emotion as well. They're really a liturgical device for the corporate group of people who are gathered in the temple in order that they might together be, in a sense, encouraged to be able to do this in the temple. Praise, praise, praise. With everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So let's go a little bit of a translating sort of here, or a little bit of sort of this idea of praise the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is here, the word that is used is hallelujah, right? And you would think, well, that's our word. Well, our word comes from the Hebrew word, which comes from the Greek word, which comes from hallelujah. It means praise the Lord or praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah is the word that is repeated over and over and over again. 13 times in 6 verses, we hear this word, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Read along with me, second part of verse 1 right there. Praise the Lord in the sanctuary, translation, in church, in being in the presence of God. Praise him in his firmament, out in the world. Praise him for his mighty deeds. For what he has done, we praise him. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. For who he is, we praise him. Praise him with trumpet sound, instruments. Praise him with lute and harp, lots of instruments. Praise him with tambourine and dance. With all of our body, we move, and even in our movement of our body, we bring praise to the Lord. Praise him with strings and pipe, more instruments. Praise him with clanging cymbals, the loudest of the instruments. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Don't you get the point? We really wanted to have loud praise here. Turn it to 11. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. With the breath that he has given us, we want to then put back praise to him. Praise the Lord. We leave off where we began with praise the Lord. That's what this sort of looks like. It's interesting that then if we look at the bigger picture of the Psalms, we understand that 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, the last 5 Psalms in this whole grouping of Psalms, the last 5 are all praise Psalms. They all start with praise the Lord. And so there's this sense, though, that I think the writers are trying to make a point, right? That our life is to be lived by praising the Lord. We start the Psalms in Psalm 1 with more of an instructive word. It's more of a sense of here's how instruction sort of works. And it's one chapter that sort of talks about that. But the whole thing finishes, the crescendo, the entire sort of symphony finishes with this idea of we are here to praise the Lord. I think sometimes in our head when we think of church, we think about like, I need to have right thinking. I need to have right theology. And those things are important, no question. But there's a sense that here, the emphasis is, look, right thinking or wrong thinking. We can all come together and say, let's praise the Lord. But let's figure out what he has done and who he is and be in a position where we are just overwhelmed by how great he is. And all of our response is just giving praise back to him. Giving praise back to him. All have the capacity to join in this orchestra. Do you realize that playing a cymbal is not that hard? Some of you would say, like, I can't be a part of the symphony. I can't play an instrument. You can play a cymbal. Right? You can play a cymbal. You can clash it really loudly. You don't have to have mad skills to be able to join in the chorus. All you need to have is a desire to want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Hebrew, exuberant praise, worship, rejoicing, happiness. That's what this is all about. We needed to get it on our heads that a big part of our Christian life is not so much about making sure that other people believe and follow and do all the things that God wants to do. Sometimes it's just that we praise the Lord and people see us praising the Lord and they realize, they think to themselves, why are they doing that? And they start to see a picture of who God is and they get a glimpse of that. They get just a little bit of a taste of that and they recognize this greatness of who we serve and who we worship. So why is it so hard to praise God today? Why is it so hard? Maybe sometimes we're not familiar with the lengths to which God has gone to love us. Sometimes we just forget. I think it's hard to do by ourselves. I think there's a sense that in this, it's the temple worship, it's a corporate setting where we can sort of do that together. When we're together, it's hard to forget because we remind one another. I think in the isolation of much of what the world has done today, which is that you are sitting isolated and off by yourself, I think it's a difficult thing to say, how great is our God? It seems better when somebody next to me is singing alongside of me and we can sing that together as opposed to all by myself. But on the 405 freeway, it's the best thing. Put down your windows, turn, you know, Chris Tomlin all the way up because the people around you are going to be around there for a while. They're going to hear the whole song. They're going to hear the whole album. Why not just sing at the top of your lungs with Chris Tomlin or whoever it is that you want to sing with? How great is our God? How great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God? I think sometimes circumstances get in the way, or we allow circumstances to get in the way. Now, this is interesting because this is going to poke hard at some of you or be difficult or prickly to kind of get your head around, but there are times and situations and circumstances that say, Keenan, I'm not really in a position to really want to praise the Lord because this situation is happening. Because I've really lost my way, because I've made a lot of mistakes, because I'm mourning the death of this, that, or the other. And yet, there's a sense that all of those circumstances don't change how great God is. Those are circumstantial. God is eternal and should supersede in some ways, should trump all the things that are going on that are circumstantial. They should come over those things. And in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the challenges, we are still able, with tears flowing down our face, and maybe even kind of a clenched fist of a little bit of frustration and anger, how great is our God? But sometimes the circumstances take us over. I think the culture is really difficult right now. The culture values complaining. The culture values pointing out faults. The culture likes when people go on rants and say negative things, about the world. The short rant on social media, the bad news, the complaining, the falling apart, the making a spectacle of yourself. All these things are what get clicks, right? But they're not about God. They're not about praiseworthy things. They're attention-getting things, but they're not praiseworthy things. And our culture then pulls us into a place of saying, I can't just get on in my social media feed and talk about how great God is. Why not? Because it's difficult. It's challenging to stand up in the midst of all the negative, nasty, awful stuff that can happen on social media and say, still God is great. And I want to praise him. And part of it is that it's not a part of our daily practice. It's not a part of our daily practice. So, if any of you have ever played this crazy game of golf, right, you'll realize that golf is this really interesting sort of, you know, situation where if you've never swung a golf club before, it's a really bizarre thing. You'll watch people, they'll kind of grab it and they'll be like, what do we do here? You know, how does this sort of work? If they played hockey, then they carry it like a hockey stick. If they played baseball, then they carry it like a baseball. But it's an interesting thing to realize that, let's see if I can not hit anything here, right? It's, you know, you work on your swing, right? And I have a sense that I've been playing since I was five, so I have a pretty good sense of like how to get that sort of swing pattern going in the same direction, right? And then my dad comes along because he's, you know, kind of a golf nerd or whatever else. And he says, you should probably, drop this right shoulder a little bit and put your right foot back so you get rid of that hook. And I'm like, that's great. I've been looking to get rid of the hook as well. So now it feels really weird again because I got to put this right foot back and I got to put this and then I'm thinking about it. But I'm still kind of have a natural sort of sense, right? But how does it that my body knows that this is where I'm supposed to be? This is position A, right? And that my backswing should go sort of this way and then through. And how does it know that? It's muscle memory, right? I've done it so many times that you can hand me the golf club. It doesn't matter where I am. I can kind of put it down and I can swing the golf club. It's about the same every time, right? It's about the same because I've swung it hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times. Muscle memory. You know why we don't praise as a church? Because it's not in our muscle memory. It's not a part of our daily routine. It's not a part of what we do. It's not a part of, it's so ingrained in us that we might be in a position where we would just start singing spontaneously. That we would be excited about life, that we would start the day rather than this is happening. I'm going to complain and whine about this, and this has gone wrong, and, you know, oh, there's no milk, or the milk is sour, and so I can't have my Lucky Charms, and, you know, there's just, you know, the world is just awful, and it's horrible, and we just start that way, and the rest of the day sort of goes that way, and we don't have a sense that I cannot wake up in the morning and say, praise be to the Lord, because I've gotten in the pattern of doing that, because that's my natural thing that I do. We don't have it as part of our muscle memory. So what does it look like for us to have that to be part of our muscle memory? What does it mean to praise God with our lips? What does it mean to praise God with our actions? What does it mean to praise God with our finances, with our time, with our talents, with our vocation? What does it mean with every fiber of our being to praise the Lord? Maybe we read a psalm a day. Maybe we sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs that actually your ringtone, rather than being Metallica that starts with, you know, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire, and it's some sort of like crazy song, that there's a Chris Tomlin song that wakes you up in the morning, and that's the first thing that you start to sing in the morning. Maybe you need to have a praise journal that you actually physically write something down each day that you're praising God for in that day. And some of you are thinking, I've got nothing to praise God for. The very breath that you take means that you're alive. You can praise God for that. The fact that you have eyes to see the world around you and take in the beauty of a sunset is praiseworthy of God. He has given you 2 feet to walk across the street and greet someone and tell them hello. Just make sure you do it at the light, not across the thing. There are lots of ways. Start your day with praise. Finish your day with praise. Share praises at your dinner table with everybody who's there. In your parenting, spend less time being critical of the people that are around you and find more ways to praise the people who are around you. Get with your spouse. And rather than saying, these are the 3 things that really bugged me about this week, rather than saying, you know what? Thank you so much for doing this. I praise you because you are a faithful husband, a faithful wife. You are there behind me, encouraging me along the way. I praise that. We get that praise, and then it's easier to just spend our whole time focused on the things that we need to be praising. What's the role of the church? As a church, almost everything that is undertaken on a Sunday is to remind us of the goodness of God, why we should praise him. So show up here prepared to praise. And then put into practice the act of praising him as we're here. And then as you leave, it's a part, hopefully, of your DNA, not just for the next 5 minutes till you get to your car. And then it all goes, you know, down the toilet because something else distracted you or whatever else. One thought today was to have instruments and pass them out and have everyone in the room realize that they have ability to praise God. We could sort of do that together. Then I realized we didn't have budget for that. So, But music does have a special place. It's unique in the human experience. It is clear that God has called his people into the midst of worship to praise God in song. There's something very different in that. So we're going to close our service in a little bit with some music as well, which I think will help. But I'm going to run out of time, so we're going to do something different. I was at this time. What I'm going to ask is that I'm going to ask you to be faithful in something, okay? I was going to take the microphone and go around the room and ask people to give praise reports. The challenge of that is I catch people off guard, and they go, and they say something they're embarrassed about later because they haven't thought through it or whatever else. What I'm going to ask you to do is when you leave, talk to a couple people outside and just tell them one thing that you're praising God for today, okay? I'm gonna give you that homework to do outside rather than us doing in this room altogether, although it would be really good for us to do it together. Because Gus would tell us how great he loves Wednesday night Bible study. Robert would tell us how much he loves cooking bacon. And Andrew would say that he likes the first song we sang because it ends with On Wings of Eagles. And he's like, that's my last name. So he would praise God that the word eagles is in lots of worship songs. Summary looks something like this. Recognize all that God has done. See who he is. Make lots of noise. And let everything that has breath praise him. You see, we have to understand that the essence of our faith is that Christ was completely innocent of all that he was accused of. He made a choice to die for the sins of all humans, you and I alike. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and he rose again. And he leaves us the Spirit to encourage us and bring real healing to the world. That's the good news. And because of that which God has done, we praise him. We praise him. Having seen and experienced all of this, God is worthy of our praise, the only truly worthy person to be praised. So let's continue to do that in our time of worship together. And today, as we celebrate communion together, which we're going to do just a little bit, it's another way in which we enact our faith. We put into practice our faith. We have an opportunity to, in some ways, celebrate a meal together. Corporately, to praise him for all he has done, to remind us of the good gift of who Jesus is in the midst of taking this feast together. And so I'm going to invite Andrew to up, and we're gonna take communion together as a community of believers. I'm not going to move that table because I'm afraid I'm going to spill something. Go ahead. You pray.
Join me in prayer. Hi, Jesus, we are grateful for the gift of praise. And we have tasted what that is like in our lives. And we know what it's like to be filled with wonder and to forget to be centered on ourselves.